Hi, and welcome to Thomas Anonymous, a memoir of my tango with toxic masculinity. Each episode reveals another chapter of my life trapped in the closet and growing up a gay boy in a straight man's world. From having to play Little League to getting blown at rest stops, I cover it all, so buckle up, kids. It's going to be a truthful ride. My name is Tommy Natoli, and this is Thomas Anonymous. Chapter 4, Self-Love. When you Google self-love, the first definition says, regard for one's own well-being and happiness. This is not about that kind of self-love. By now, it's clear, I sucked at doing boy stuff. I was never gonna be good at football or basketball or baseball or landscaping, plumbing, being a mechanic. I mean, I was just bad at boy stuff. If Fat Matt ever asked me to go get him a Phillips screwdriver, I would stand there looking at the workbench for what felt like hours, wondering, which one's the Phillips? Which one's the Phillips? Which one's the screwdriver? Oh my God. I was never gonna be good at that boy stuff. And I wasn't interested in any of that boy stuff. But there was one thing that all the other boys did, that I also did, that I really loved. The first time I ever jerked off, I used a stray condom I stumbled upon on my walk home from school. Now, I know what you're thinking, and let's just please put a pin in that thought for just a second. We all masturbate, and that means we all discovered it at some point. Every boy thinks he invented it, and every girl pretends she didn't do it. I discovered masturbation by accident. And I was certain that I had just invented it. Me! I was aware that people played with themselves. I just didn't know what that meant, or that there was a word for it. My cousin was always getting yelled at to stop diddling, so I just thought diddling or playing with yourself was when you humped your hands on the couch. That was the extent of my knowledge on masturbation. I mean, I didn't know anything about an orgasm or its existence, so you can imagine my surprise the first time that hot mess happened. Okay, back to me finding stray condoms on the streets of Wareham. Now, just to clear the air, this was not a used condom. No, this was a new, unopened Trojan condom just lying there on the ground on my walk home from school. The universe had sent it specifically for me, and there it was, untouched, as if God was saying, "This way, Tommy." Or I guess more appropriately, "Come this way, Tommy." I was like any other red-blooded American 12-year-old boy with a boner. Without missing a beat, the second it visually came into focus, I picked it up, pocketed that blue Trojan, and prepared myself to become a man. A real man. Me. Up until this point in my life, I was having some pretty hot and heavy dry hump sessions with my mattress. It was steady, but I was ready for the next big leap into being a real-life teenage boy with real-life crusty socks. I got home, and I stared at that condom in my bedroom all afternoon. I couldn't wait for bedtime! I didn't dare try before bedtime because in a house with 5 people and no locks, penis play is a risky game. I read that condom wrapper front to back over and over and over again. All I could wonder was, what the fuck is spermicidial? Spermicidial? Spermicidal? Sounded like poison, but I wasn't gonna let a little poison get in my way. Dinner that night couldn't have moved slower. Hey mom, can we wrap this meatloaf to go? I got plans. As a kid, I hated bedtime, but this night I was ready for some investigative alone time. Usually I was known for my long-winded goodnights, with a million questions and at least 2 farewell monologues to my mother. This was not a usual night. I gave a casual but affirming, "Kay, night mom," and I flew down the hall and slammed my door shut. I was ready, and I knew I wouldn't be disturbed. My mom and Fat Matt were settled in for episode number 3 of Cops. So I was in the clear. I ripped open the label that I spent all afternoon gazing at, and I strapped on the lubricated condom. I knew how to put a condom on because I was raised by television, and one time Linda Ellerby showed me how to on an episode of Nick News. She used a banana, and it was probably the most complicated, confusing thing I ever saw on Nickelodeon. Anyway, back to me. Thanks to Nick News, I felt like a pro putting on this piece of manhood. And then it was on me, and there I was, fully impressed with myself and my condom and my dick. Okay, now what? Well, I guess this is the part where you need another person. So I just started to squish the condom around to see if it did anything else I wasn't aware of. This was the first time I experienced lubrication of any kind, and I'm sure any guy will tell you that lube is a game changer. No wait, lube is a life changer. I was in a fascinating shock as to what the hell was happening with my body. I squished that condom around and I felt my heart rate continually increase. What was I doing? What's going on? God, this is kind of scary, but not scary enough to stop. And then it happened. You know what I'm talking about. Bam. I didn't even know I finished. In fact, I didn't really know what had just happened at all, and I was frozen and I couldn't move. I'm pretty sure they call this shock. My heart was pounding and I thought I was going into cardiac arrest and that I would be a 12-year-old dead of a heart attack by morning. Not that I overthink things. As my pulse settled down and I realized I'm totally fine and I'm alive, I ripped that stupid condom off and like a real official man, I immediately passed out. The fact that I found this condom outside on the side of the road is not the gross part of the story. The gross part is that I kept using that condom for 2.5 weeks. Okay, fine, it was a month. I thought that condom was the magic key ingredient to making my awesome new invention work. I seriously thought to myself, oh my god, if I don't have this condom, I can't make that really cool feel-good thing happen. Point of the story is, 12-year-old boys are disgusting. Eventually, due to the laws of physics, my condom basically rotted away to nothing. I sadly had to throw the condom away and I thought my awesome self-love times were over. I decided that night to try my new invention anyway despite not having my magical, disgustingly overused condom. To my surprise, I still had my invention of self-love. It still worked, you guys! I realized I could do it anytime I wanted with just my hand. I didn't need a magical anything. My hand was the magic part. Look out, world, here I come, literally. I used to jerk off to everything and anything, from Matthew Lawrence and Mrs. Doubtfire to news anchors reading teleprompters. I was busy. I don't know why a 12-year-old would ever need access to porn. At that age, my imagination was so vivid and filthy I needed zero assistance. Although I did enjoy those underwear models and their bulges in the Big Christmas Sears catalog. Bulges. The best part about being that age and discovering how to jerk off is that you're that age, so you're clueless, you're stupid, you're dumb, you smell, you're awkward, but most importantly, you have no boundaries. I mean, I used to jerk off everywhere and anywhere. I mean, when I was 12, 13, I had no boundaries. I would jerk off anywhere. Jerked off in my grandmother's bathroom, basements. Oh, hey, we're going to Cousin Bozo's house for a little bit. Oh, great. I'll, like, find a place where I can go jerk off. Perfect. One time at school, I attempted to jerk off in the bathroom, so I locked the door, but then I was in there for a really long time and went back to class, and it was kinda obvious what I was just doing. I jerked off in the bathroom at home a lot. I jerked off at friend's house. Oh, hey, I'm gonna go use the bathroom real quick for like 10 minutes and probably jerk off. Puberty can be a soul-crushing time. Hormones are pumping through you like they never will again in your life. I mean, I remember, as every boy remembers, having to try to, like, negotiate and handle and deal with your giant erection just, like, everywhere all the time. Like, I gotta go over here. Oh, wait, first let me, like, adjust my crotch nonchalantly, which, by the way, there is no nonchalant way to adjust your crotch. I would always try to go in for the quick sweep up. So that's like somehow quickly just sweep your dick up so that it stays smashed down. The cliche moment that film and television always show us is someone getting called on at class to go write something on the board. That literally never happened to me in the years of public school and boners. It was always where you least expected it. For example, if I was ever riding on a school bus, I would always get a boner. I don't know, something about the bumps on Main Street just did it for me. But then of course, the first stop after Main Street was my stop. And so it was always a battle of trying to hide my boner as I got up to walk off the bus. In your mind at the time, you think, oh my god, everyone's gonna see, oh my god, they're all gonna point, they're all gonna see, but as an adult, you realize everyone's so self-centered, nobody's looking at your crotch. It's funny how you have no boundaries when it comes to masturbating as a 12-year-old, 13-year-old. No boundaries, I'll do it anywhere. Oh, what, I've been here for 5 minutes and I don't really know anything about this place? Cool, where can I jerk off? No boundaries, but tons of shame. Because nobody talks about it. Nobody tells you, oh, hey, you're gonna start needing to, like, get rid of all this, like, stuff your body's producing, so you should be jerking off. Otherwise, you're gonna have wet dreams every night. Nobody tells you about that. Not school, not home. We really need to get it together on that front. At the time, if you were to ask any boy, hey, do you jerk off? Everyone denied it. Everybody denied it. Nobody admitted to it. It was sacred. It was unspoken of, and nobody talked about it. And that kind of makes sense now as to why every boy thinks he invented it, because nobody's allowed to talk about it, so it's really just you in your head thinking, well, I just must be the only one. Great. I didn't know that I was actually being most like a boy by jerking off. I had a lot in common with all these other boys. I had finally found a hobby that all the other boys did too. Look at me, Mom! I'm a real boy! Jerking off. Of course, for the longest time, I thought I was the only one who had this awesome power, and I used to think of telling people, but ultimately it was way too embarrassing to talk about. But I genuinely wanted other people to know about it. I thought if I shared this with the world, then I would become super rich and famous for my new world discovery. It's kind of cute that I wanted to share my knowledge of masturbation with the world. To be fair, I was already sharing it with my sheets, socks, and the homemade curtains that hung next to my bed. Me. Thanks for listening to Chapter 4, Self-Love. Join me now for a post-chapter chat I'm calling The Weed Cat. It's a recap of sorts where I chill out and answer questions I get throughout the week on social media, read listener stories, and also will be joined by some various guests who may also have some fun stories to share. The Weed Cap is up next.
Make you a super awesome person if you went on iTunes right now and gave Thomas Anonymous a 5-star rating and a review. You heard me. It's easy to do, and we might read yours on air.
Welcome to the Weed Cap. I'm super excited for this part of the show. I was really happy with the outpouring of messages and tweets and just all the positive feedback that I got from the first 3 episodes. And I knew hearing all that we needed a part of the show where I could connect with all the listeners and make you part of the show. So I want you, the listeners, to help me with Weed Cap and share your stories, ask questions. A lot of people reached out and let me know that they're connecting with these stories. I'm looking forward to hearing some of your hilarious stories. And this is Thomas Anonymous, you guys, so you don't need to use your real name. You can be totally anonymous, even if you're on the show. So I'll let you know all the fun ways you can reach out to me and the show in just a bit. But first, we're going to get right into it. My guest is here, and she and I have known each other for 10 years. She's a retired sexpert and my mentor and shaman and spirit mom and Leo. And her name's Michelle. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Tommy.
Yay, us, you're here.
Yay.
So, yeah, you listened to the podcast. You've listened to all 3 episodes? 4 episodes now, right?
Yes, I've listened to all of them. I love them.
Cool. Well, chapter 1 was all about my experience with religion, and I started with that topic because a lot of gay people have had, like, a very oppressive experience with religion, and I did not. So I just wanted to get that topic over with and out of the way. And one of the reasons I have you on is because you have such a history with religion. For a long time, you were super Christian. You taught Sunday school, so...
It was Joy of Living Bible Study. 10 years. Thanks.
I thought it was longer than that.
10 years was enough. Plenty. And then from there, I moved into my fundamental Christian craziness with my children.
So what would that version of Michelle, who doesn't really exist anymore...
But oh, she's dead.
What would she say about Thomas Anonymous podcast? Or just gay people in general?
Well, now, that's one thing. But back then, you were going to hell in a handbasket.
That you mean, like, you don't feel that way anymore,
obviously. Oh,
God,
obviously. No. That was ingrained in me, you know, sent from my parents.
Right.
Straight to me.
As a former Sunday school teacher, what would you have said to a child if they had asked you about homosexuality?
That it was bad and you should pray it away. Pray it away! Just pray about it! That's the thing about prayer. You only get it if that's what God wants. So I don't know really why people do it in the first place, but whatever.
I don't remember there ever being, like, specifically calling out gay people. Do you?
I don't, because I worked with littler kids.
Hmm.
And I really didn't like teenagers very much, so I tried to stay away from them as much as possible, and I think that they would be the ones that would have to go through that kind of thing. The kids that I worked with were kindergartners, so yeah. They didn't know yet how to hate and to judge, and all they were just learning from their parents.
Yeah, that's when they're just starting. They're just planting the seeds of hate.
Exactly.
I went to like a teen youth thing for maybe 2 weeks or something, and they never talked about homosexuality, but sex was obviously a huge thing, and they made everyone like sign a what are those like?
Oh, abstinence clause. Yeah. Yeah, like that Palin girl. Oh, what's the one? She has two kids now, never been married. Shoot, can't remember her name.
Yeah. Oh, well, they had like the promise rings. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, these were like little certificates, and we had to print our name out and then make it. It's like you were signing a contract with.
Right. But you will be abstinent and you will not touch yourself.
I ripped mine up, by the way, and threw it in the hallway.
Good for you. Well, so were you still at the church?
I crumpled it up, yeah. I didn't rip it up.
Well, it was too late for me. I'd already had started having sex when I was little. Not little, 14.
So, that is little. So, okay, so you're just real quick with the Christian background. Even though you were a Sunday school teacher and all that, you still lived a life of sin, didn't you?
I'm a sinner. Well, what part? I wasn't a sinner for a really long time.
But I
was perfect.
I feel like you did a lot of like drinking and drugging and having sex.
I did all of that, but that was from the time I was 14 up until I married my second husband, who was Mormon. And then I was Mormon for a few minutes, and then I married my third husband because that didn't work out, and I needed to help him because he had problems, and so we started going to church. And then all of that stopped. Then I was good.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes. But from the time I was 14 up until 25.
But you were with Sterling in your 20s. I don't want to name drop. You were with one of your...
Too late.
When you were married for 18 years...
16, but together for 18.
That was part of your Christian years, right?
Oh, yes.
So wasn't there also some cocaine involved during
in
that time?
On his part, not on mine. I did no drugs. I did drink a little bit, but... I did not partake in any illegal drug activity.
Got it.
My kids were homeschooled. They did action ministries. We were very busy.
Oh, God. All right. Episode 2, KTB, we find out, is kissing, touching, blowjobs. Is that, as a straight woman, is that the same order of operations for straight people? And if not, please advise.
You mean how it starts?
Yeah, like for me, like that's always the like that's the order of what we're doing. There's kissing, there's touching, bam, blowjobs.
Oh gosh, no. Not for a straight girl.
How does it work for straight
kissing,
girls?
Kissing, lots of kissing.
So there's lots of kissing.
Lots of kissing, lots of dry humping. Lots of dry humping. Oh, dry hump until the cows come home.
What does that
do? When they rub their hard, erect manhood all over you.
Now, dry humping's obviously clothed.
You're clothed, yeah. So by the time you're done, you're a little sore because of that zipper. It's just not working out. So there's a lot of kissing, and then it's always about the girl. Then you go to second base, and then you get your boobs all touched, and that's amazing. And
That's right, the bases.
Oh, yeah, and then comes the unbuttoning of the jeans.
What base is that?
That's third.
Oh.
If you go to third base, you are getting finger banged, and that's huge. Penises don't come in for a long time.
Wow.
Yeah, you don't want to touch that.
When does the dick come out?
Not to be graphic, but... Well, after the whole finger-banging thing happens, then you're like cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs because you don't understand what's happening because your brain's going a million miles an hour.
And so once you round third, then you could...
Round third, that's when you're like, okay, I think I should put my hands down his pants.
But you're not going in for the blowjob before home base. You're not, I mean...
No, because for girls, especially at that age, I don't know now because that was like 100 years ago when I was that age, but I didn't start with the blowjobs until high school.
That's on track, I feel like.
Oh, see? I waited a few boys in.
Although now I do think it is younger. I think the girls are younger.
Oh, yeah.
Blowjobbing. And also, I guess anal's kind of a big...
That's what I hear.
Instead of the V.
Well, they figure that way they don't get pregnant.
Right.
Yeah, they just get gonorrhea.
Ew.
It's great.
And hemorrhoids.
And hemorrhoids, yeah.
Okay, great.
Stickers.
All right, so let's talk about chapter 3. Butch Balls.
Yeah, I love that. That's my favorite. I love that chapter.
I got a lot of good feedback from that. What's your connection with them? I mean, for me, it was, I have more stories about sports and stuff, but that was just basketball. So what was your...
I hated sports. I hated PE growing up because I was not a sports person. Yeah. Kind of like you.
PE was a nightmare.
Yeah, you had to change in front of everybody.
Oh, not me.
I hated that.
Not me.
Ugh.
You know why?
Why?
Because I would wear my gym clothes underneath my clothes all day long. Oh, so that when it came time to change, oh, I'm just taking this shirt off. Oh, look, there's another shirt underneath. Oh, my pants. Oh, there's my shorts.
Oh, see, lucky for you, you're a boy because I had to wear Shemenda fur pants, jeans,
a different pair. I don't know what those
are. Shemenda fur? Oh, good Lord. If you didn't wear Shemenda fur, you were just labeled poor.
Oh, God.
And so me not being poor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They sound warm. They sound hot.
They're jeans, but they're just called Shemenda fur. They're Shemenda fur jeans, and they had different little pockets, and we're totally off the subject here. But you had to use a coat hanger to zip them up because they were so tight
God.
You couldn't get your zipper up. So how on earth was I going to wear my gym shorts underneath that? It wasn't going to happen, you know, or my little tiny tops that I like to wear and stuff like that. So it was uncomfortable with sports. I would fake knee injuries all the time. I always was limping. Every time you saw me, I was limping.
Gym today. Yeah, oh, my ankle.
So I got put in adaptive PE where you don't have to get dressed, where you play board games and smoke cigarettes and
This must have been a time and a place. The only option they gave us was instead of football or volleyball, you could go walk with the girls. And so I would just go walk. We would walk around the track.
Oh my gosh. Well, see, you were brought up in Massachusetts. I'm a California girl and we're way more progressive.
Yeah, even though you guys want to smoke cigarettes, just go over there.
Yeah, we just went outside, we smoked. Where I met Michael Mansfield. Oh, good Lord. Sorry, name dropping.
Oh, my God. God rest his soul.
Oh, God.
Oh my God.
Anyway, I just remember being picked. You know, I was always the last one being picked.
Yeah.
And then everybody go, I got picked, and you were just like walking that. You need to walk over to that team. Everybody's going, I can't believe it. We have to have Michelle on our team. Oh, we're going to lose.
Yep. We're getting, buckle up. We're losing, guys.
We're losing. And I would just be like, fucking hate this.
Yeah, it's a horrible feeling. I just remember trying to kind of be under the radar. I mean, being orange sweatshirt didn't help things, but
but I just see you with your midriff. Woo!
Rolled up. Yeah. And not even like rolled up all the way. Like, it just rolled up a little bit. It was just
I feel so sorry for the boys that they had to do that.
Why didn't girls have to do shirts and skins?
We still don't get to do shirts and skins. It's 2017, and we still don't get to take our shirt off. And there's a lot of guys out there that are taking their shirts off, and they shouldn't.
Now, you know what they have now? They don't do shirts and skins. They have, like, mesh jerseys.
Right, and they can turn them inside out or whatever.
I'm real mad about that.
Well, see, you should have stood up for your rights back then and maybe mesh...
I did. I rolled my shirt up. That's the best I could do. Take that. This is my NFL protest, you guys. Rolling up my shirt.
I love it.
It was all right.
I also felt sorry for you having to have those boys come over like that. I just knew they were such little assholes because I remember... Now, see, you're talking about when you were in grade school.
Yeah, this is elementary school.
Elementary
school.
This was like fifth grade. So elementary school was hard for me. That was before, you know, I was an ugly little duckling and then I turned into this gorgeous swan.
Yep.
But yeah, it was hard in elementary school because nobody respected or, you know, they just treated you like crap.
Yeah, in elementary school, especially like fifth grade, this happened. That's like when things are just starting hormone-wise. And a few years before fifth grade, I feel like everyone's kind of on the same page. We're just all kids in a classroom doing Play-Doh and shit.
Closer to
middle school, like fifth grade, it's like all of a sudden kids like, you know, you pair off into your cliques and groups and stuff. And
awful.
With Billy and Jose, those little fuckers, what happened was my mom was a bus driver. And so I would just have to be on her bus. And Billy and Jose was on the bus route that she drove. And so at the end of the drive, usually it's just me and my mom and my sister going home. But Billy and Jose were on the bus with us. So it was just like this moment of like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah.
Oh,
and she's like, oh, they're coming over. I figured it'd be great for you guys to play basketball together. Like, oh, did you... You just figured that? That would be great? Like, you didn't realize that I fucking hate these kids?
Oh, man. And you know they were talking shit about you the whole time in the back of the bus.
And Jose had armpit hair in fourth grade. What a pig.
Oh, he probably had a mustache by the time he was in sixth.
So with my masturbation story, a big thing was that I really thought I invented it. What's your first masturbation experience? You're a girl, so I know it's different. So,
I was very... My parents were such... You know, conservative Christians that it wasn't talked about. We never said the word masturbation. When yeah. I had the sex talk with my mother, she said, when a man really loves a woman, they get married, and then they go to bed, and he puts his penis into her vagina, and they make a baby. And I cried, and I cried, and I said, I don't want to do that. And then at 14, I met Aaron Welch, and I was all over that. Forget it. He looked just like Andy Gibb. So it was happening. It was happening. So we didn't talk about it. So
you didn't masturbate as a kid or a teenager?
Later, yeah. Once I realized that my mom was full of shit and that, you know, this is the truth. I don't really remember masturbating all that much because I was really busy having sex with real boys. And I didn't know how to masturbate. I didn't understand or really get into masturbation until I was in my 40s. And wow, right. It's still awesome.
So you were having sex well before you were even touching yourself.
Which is really sad because I don't think that I was as good as I could have been had I known my body better.
Yeah, if only you would, as a little girl, just humped yourself a little at bedtime.
Well, I think that they do. I think that that's normal. Like, you wake up. And you're humping your pillow, and you're like, I'm going to hell. I'm not telling anyone. Oh, God, you didn't see me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I know that that kind of stuff happened.
Okay.
But any real, you know, clit or, you know, dildos or orgasm. Bullet vibes, orgasms, nobody has an orgasm humping their pillow. They just don't. It just doesn't work like that. So until I actually, you know, started investigating and really understanding my body, is when I started really enjoying it. So, you know, when I listened to you, I thought, God, how cool that is that you were young, and even though you had a two-week-old condom, that was kind of gross, but...
It was a month.
A month? Yeah. Oh, geez Louise, that's a long time for a condom.
But it's, yeah.
Yeah, but I thought how lucky you were, and I think boys are way more lucky than girls because it's just accepted. Boys are going to jerk off.
Yeah. Well, and it's like they have to, I mean, they either have to jerk off or have extreme wet dreams. It's because we're producing, like, you're 14, 13, your, like, body's like, hey, you want some cum? Let's make gallons of it.
And my mother told me, you can't do that because in the Bible, it's a sin if you spill your seed.
Oh, that's great. That brings me to a question I have about masturbation and the myths of masturbation. Like,
You're going to go blind.
You're going to go blind. Mm-hmm. Where does that come from? Why?
I think it's all religion. I really, really do. And people that are just so terrified of sex.
Is going deaf one of them as well?
No, just blind. I don't think you lose your hearing. How else could you listen to your mother saying, stop touching yourself?
No, it's just the eyes.
Yeah, it's just the eyes. Just the eyes.
Wow.
Yeah, that you can get addicted to your vibrator. Not true.
So you never used a condom to masturbate?
God, when I was young, you didn't use a condom for anything.
I mean, even as an adult, you've never been like, oh, let me wrap up my fingers.
No, I just use my fingers regular. And then, yeah, I bought a dildo and I said goodbye to my fingers.
What's your masturbation, like, schedule or habit like as, like, now, as a full-grown adult?
I think it's important for men and women to masturbate. I know there's a lot of health benefits to it for men. It's very, very good True. For you. Good for your prostate. Yep. Masturbate, masturbate, masturbate. It also helps you to maintain good hard-ons.
And oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's important. And people don't realize that. The same thing for women is if you don't masturbate, you start losing your interest in sex. If you're not taking care of yourself, if you're not engaging yourself, it's hard for you to go and have sex, you know, three times a week or whatever you're doing with somebody you've been with for a while.
Yeah.
It's menopause and all that, because I just think that's a bunch of malarkey anyway. I've never, ever, you know, now that I'm in touch with my body, way happier.
Well, it's like a muscle. Any muscle you want to keep healthy,
exactly.
You gotta work it out.
And that's the thing. We care about our outer beauty, but why not our inner? Why are we not worried about the inner parts of us?
Because this is America.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Hey, could you relate to any of the chapters so far? Have any similar funny stories you'd like to share? We want to hear from you guys, so go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Thomas Anonymous Podcast, and send us a message. Do it! Welcome back. We're here. Like we were saying, I really want listeners to be involved with the show. So this next segment is for you guys. Questions you may have, bunny-related stories, anything you want to share with the show, you can remain anonymous or shine a spotlight on your name, whatever you're in. So this week we got a lot of messages on Facebook. Michelle has some of those she's going to read for us. Michelle, what's up on Facebook?
Well, EB on Facebook said, I just listened to chapters 1-3. Loved it. Props to you to be able to do this. Can't wait to hear more. Jen on Facebook wrote, me and my boyfriend listened to the first 3 chapters yesterday. Excellent so far, dude. All 3 are awesome. Looking forward to hearing your voice and stories more.
Yay! Thank you guys on Facebook. We also got some iTunes reviews, which is really, really, really awesome. If you can, please leave us a review on iTunes. It makes the show even better. KG Smith 2001 writes, the storytelling is so delightful and honest. I can't wait for the next episodes. Yay, Tommy. And Ethan Drew 20 writes, this is gonna get me through my commute. Thank you guys. That was really, really cool. Keep leaving those reviews and keep reaching out to us on Facebook. Our last segment is called Positive Polly, and that's where I want to find a silver lining or some positivity in what we've talked about, because sometimes things can get real negative. But I think this was this one wasn't too bad. I mean, I think masturbation's a positive, uplifting thing in life that we all need. And my takeaway from this is that I've been on track. And that I've been taking care of myself, and that I haven't neglected my muscles. So that's my positive takeaway, that I've been a really healthy person for 22 years now.
Woo!
22 years, yeah. 12, 34, okay.
Yeah, well, I'm about, let's see, I think the positive thing that I see in this is that people being in touch with their bodies, learning how to love themselves, because depending on other people for sex makes you vulnerable. If you can take care of yourself, what else is there?
Exactly. All right, cool. That's our show today. You can reach Michelle. Michelle, where can people find you? Online, it's the internet. That's how people connect. You gotta give me your handle. Where can they find you? Where can they reach out to you?
They can reach out to me at don'tsitonmepillows@yahoo.com.
Oh, okay. What are pillows? What are Don't Sit on Me pillows?
That's
tell
my hobby.
Us.
I went from being a sexpert to a pillow maker.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's funny what happens when you find happiness.
It is.
Do you have a Twitter handle or Instagram or?
I don't tweet.
Got it.
I'm not a twatter.
Great. You can reach the show on Facebook at facebook.com/ThomasAnonymousPodcast. Next week, you guys, it's the BS of America. That's the chapter. It's Boy Scouts of America. So if you have stories, thoughts, experiences, questions about the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, or, you know, similar dysfunctional organizations, please reach out to us. Let us know. You can find me on Twitter at Tommy Natoli. That's TommyNatoli. You can find me on Facebook at Tommy Natoli. The show is Thomas Anonymous Podcast. And yeah, that's it for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Wednesday with a brand new episode. See you then. Okay, bye.